It's 12:37, and we're in the middle, of course, of a summer-like weather pattern. It'll continue across the region for the next couple of days, a little more humid than it's been earlier in May and certainly through a very rainy April, rainy but cool. Southerly winds will continue to blow ahead of a low-pressure system that's slowly tracking to the northeast from the plains. That system has generated a few thunderstorms in northern northeast Missouri, southwest Iowa. There was a severe thunderstorm warning for a time for Knox County in northeast Missouri, but that's been downgraded. And there have been a couple storms popping up here and there, but nothing has hit Illinois as of yet. But we will see some of those isolated thundershowers popping up from time to time with this warm and humid air mass in place. So that's why we have a chance of showers and thunderstorms in our forecast for the next couple of days, in fact. Chance ranging from 30 to 50% in most cases. It should be partly sunny for the rest of the afternoon and a high of 89 degrees, southwest winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour. And again, a chance of that shower or thunderstorm in the area through tonight as well. Mostly cloudy overnight and a low of 67 degrees. Our winds out of the south tonight, 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tomorrow, much of the same, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high 86, southwest winds at 10 to 15. Tomorrow night, cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms at a low of 65. And for Friday, cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, a little bit cooler as we see a little less sunshine, the high on Friday, 78 degrees. Cooling trend continues into the weekend. It'll be cloudy Friday night through Sunday night, so the entire weekend will be cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll turn partly cloudy, and the rain chance moves away for Monday and Tuesday, but it will be cool. Saturday's highs in the mid-60s, Sunday only in the lower 60s, and then mid-60s with some sunshine for Monday and Tuesday. Friday night's low in the mid-50s, Saturday night lower 50s, and then upper 40s for the lows on Sunday and Monday nights. In our area, there isn't aren't too many places in the two-state area where there is not sunshine or some sunshine. It's 82 degrees in Danville and Mattoon and Paris, 84 in Decatur at the moment, as well as Bloomington and in Taylorville. It's 86 in Rantoul, 88 degrees in Pontiac. That's the high temperature that we have in the immediate area, 86 in Springfield. At Willard Airport at the top of the hour, it was 86 degrees with a dew point of 68, the relative humidity at 54%. The wind out of the southwest at 8 miles an hour, a falling barometer, 29.88 inches, and the heat index is 89 when you match the temperature and the humidity. Right now on Friends Plaza, 87 degrees with some hazy sunshine and a few clouds rolling in, but not that much to obstruct the sun. It's 20 minutes before 1 o'clock. It's the Afternoon Magazine. And for Celeste Quinn, I'm Tom Rogers. It's election season in India. And of the five states that will announce election results this week, one has the potential to be a major upset. In the state of West Bengal, the world's oldest elected communist government may give way to a new political party. Commentator Sandeep Roy is back home in India, and he found himself one of many international journalists who are following that election.
At a recent street-side rally in Calcutta, Mamata Banerjee says the eyes of the whole world are on West Bengal. Mamata is India's railway minister, but she wants to be chief minister, the elected head of West Bengal's government. And she wants to topple the ruling Communist Party. Mamata doesn't promise anything radical, more industry, investment, clean government, and change. In Calcutta, usually nothing much changes. It was once the capital of British India. But these days, it's the city that time and India forgot. Trams still trundle down the congested streets. But this election has everyone abuzz, says historian Bharati Ray.
To oust a government after 35 years of rule, a communist government, particularly after what happened in Russia and what is happening in Cuba, is of international interest.
During those 35 years, elections don't seem to have changed very much. Posters still flutter from the backs of rickshaws. The Communist Party faithful march down the streets shouting, "Long live the revolution!" But both campaigns tiptoed across new frontiers. Mamata's Trinamool Congress Party got into social media. The local newspaper said the communists' website was better. But Trinamool Vice President Derek O'Brien says his side won the cookie race. Hammer and sickle cookies for the communists, or Trinamool cookies with their three-leaf cloverish logo.
And I was very happy to note that we were selling 8 to 2. And the cookie was very expensive by Indian standards, was $1.50.
But campaign cookies and text messages and town hall debates are just the icing of democracy. The real story of change is the way elections are reported and conducted now, says journalist Ruchir Joshi. Politics can be dangerous in India. A few years ago, West Bengal police shot dozens of people during a protest.
A lot of nastiness in Indian politics would happen because, hey, who's going to see? I'm just going to put a bullet through your head. That is more and more difficult to do now.
This time, a strengthened election commission monitored polling places. And television and the internet reach into the smallest communities now.
For the first time, the normal public has a sense that I can go and vote for who I want. There is a kind of bubble. There is a kind of special election time defensive bubble around, which gives people a lot of courage.
As an American citizen now, I couldn't vote in this election. But all around me, I see people with ink-stained fingers. It's so they couldn't vote twice. But it's also an indelible stamp of courage and the faith Indians have in their chaotic democracy.
Sandeep Roy is an NPR commentator, an editor with New America Media, and the host of its radio show New America Now in San Francisco. General Motors says it's investing $2 billion in 17 American factories. This comes after the company announced its fifth straight quarterly profit since it emerged from bankruptcy. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton reports the new investment could mean new jobs.
So the rock music blasting at GM's Toledo transmission plant isn't exactly happy days are here again, but Matt Jaworski's feeling pretty happy. He's only a temp worker, but he's got no complaints.
Things aren't the greatest out there these days for jobs, so when you get an opportunity like this, you gotta take it.
Elizabeth Samet says it was really depressing when GM went bankrupt 2 years ago, and early this year she got laid off. But she's been rehired at Toledo, where GM is investing $200 million to build a new fuel-efficient 8-speed transmission.
I have a whole new outlook, and it's just totally changed my mood, and I think a lot of people's moods, too.
GM CEO Dan Ackerson's happy, too, though he cautions the company has a long way to go. When asked about the upcoming contract talks with the UAW, he says the once bitter relationship between the two sides has changed.
Neither one of us want to be considered bad management or greedy union or greedy management bad union.
That's not to say there won't be some fights, like whether GM should make more of its temp workers permanent. But for now, both sides are emphasizing the positive: new transmissions, new jobs, and a profitable American car company. For NPR News, I'm Tracy Samilton in Ann Arbor.
Microsoft caused some waves this week with the announcement of a plan to purchase Skype. NPR's Steve Inskeep this morning talked with Bloomberg News technology analyst Rich Jaroslawski about that plan and what the purchase could mean for how you communicate in the future.
How do these companies' products fit together anyway?
Well, that will be a really interesting question to see. Microsoft has enormous businesses in terms of Windows and Microsoft Office, but that market isn't really growing. What's exploding is the demand for mobile services. Microsoft needs to come up with cool services that it can use to revive its phone business, for example. Microsoft also has an enormous business in terms of the Xbox and the Xbox Live service and this new product that they came out with last year called the Kinect, which is a game controller. But you can see how Skype may well fit with Kinect in terms of being able to video conference over the Xbox platform.
So they might merge the video conferencing service they already have with what Skype currently does. How would the video games work into this?
Well, it isn't so much about gaming, but there's going to be a huge struggle. It's already going on for who controls the living room, who controls the TV, who controls the connectivity of the TV. And the Xbox is kind of a stealth entry from Microsoft, because it's hooked up to so many TVs. It's increasingly hooked up to the internet. And the Kinect controller is a game controller. But if you ever saw things like the movie Minority Report, for example, where you are you can be sort of in an immersive virtual world and interacting with other people, you could see how something like Skype would fit with that kind of a future.
Explain that a little more. What do you mean?
Well, what Kinect does is use your entire body as a controller. You don't hold anything. So imagine that sort of an immersive environment for being able to communicate with people and be in their world, be in their living room, for example. And you could do that just as easily as you could sit in your den and play a game.
Now, the last time that we talked, you also mentioned the battle for the living room. You talked about Apple maybe wanting to go from the iPhone to the iPad to basically running or owning or making your television set. And you're saying this is what's happening again with Microsoft. They've got the game technology already in the living room. They want to own the whole living room.
I think that's part of what's happening, but this is much more than just the living room. I think they see Skype as digital glue that can tie together all sorts of disparate products. And what Skype is a way of hooking these things all up.
Let me ask one other thing. As many people will know, the most basic Skype service is simply talking with a video accompanying from one computer to another. That service is free. You pay nothing right now. But as they made this announcement, the heads of the companies talked about commercialization or monetization of Skype. Does that mean they're going to start charging me for that?
My guess is no. I don't think that it's necessarily about putting up toll booths on things that are free now. It's not about taking something away from people that they now enjoy and that has helped make Skype as successful as it's been, but rather to look for new opportunities.
Rich Jaroslawski is the technology columnist for Bloomberg News. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 11th of May, 2011. It was on this day, the year 868 A.D., the Diamond Sutra was printed, the world's oldest book bearing a specific date of publication. It's a collection of Buddhist teachings, a dialogue between the Buddha and Subhuti, one of his elderly disciples. The copy was printed with wood blocks on 7 strips of paper, each page from a single block, 7 sheets bound together to form a scroll about 16 feet long. The Diamond Sutra was discovered